We have been in a series called Building My Destiny. And we have been talking about the fact that God's plan is that each of us would have a fruitful destiny. Fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. Fruitful. That is to be our destiny in Christ. It may not be easy. It may not be filled with riches or glory or fame. But what God calls each one of us to is a life of amazing, bountiful fruitfulness. He has created us to be fruitful. And we see this all through Scripture. One of the most amazing places where we see this is caught by an Old Testament prophet. Listen to these words that are spoken by God to a people who have been imprisoned and are living in exile in Babylon. But listen to what God says to his people. It's in Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase. Everybody say increase. Increase in numbers there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is all about fruitfulness. In every phrase that we see, it's about, no, don't decrease, increase. No, you've been carried off into exile, but this is my doing. I want you to realize that I'm behind this, and even though it is difficult and even though it's challenging beyond what our minds here, Santa Maria Foursquare, could even comprehend. I want you to remember that the Babylonians had come in, had attacked their land, had killed their family members, had torn down their cities, and had destroyed their temple. God is speaking this to people who had been oppressed, taken captive, and now were living in a place that was not even their homeland. And God is saying, even to those, you can be radically fruitful where you are. It is not based on your location. It is not based on the circumstance that you find yourself in. I have destined that my people would be fruitful. If anybody in the world had an excuse for barrenness, it would have been these folks right here, God's people in captivity. But he says this, don't you dare think that this is a time to decrease. I am calling you to a time of increase, to be fruitful. Maybe that's speaking to somebody here today. You may find yourself in a time, a season of your life when you're looking around to your left and your right going, man, all I feel is barrenness in my body, in my marriage, with my kids, with my work situation, all the things of life. But God says this is not a time for you to go, well, it's just a time where I'm fading away, right? Going off into the sunset. Goodbye, cruel world. God is saying, no, your destiny in me is to be fruitful, to multiply. And I'll just talk to you high school graduates here for a moment. You are going to face difficult times. You are going to face challenges that at this moment you can't even conceive of. You're going to hit bumps in the road. You are going to hit times when it's like, man, I wish I could just go back to those days where my mom and dad were caring for me and doing everything for me. But I'm telling you, when you get to those times that feel most darkest, it's a time to shine. When you get to times when you feel like I am living in the deserty, barrenest place that I could ever imagine, God is saying to you, please remember, now is the time to bear fruit. Streams in the desert. Streams in the desert. If we are not being fruitful in our lives, we are not fulfilling this destiny that God has for us. So I want to take one last look at a scripture that has been really important to us during this series. We find it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12. And it's the Apostle Paul that is writing a letter to his spiritual son Timothy, telling Timothy how to be fruitful. If you go back and read these letters of 1 and 2 Timothy through that lens of like a dad speaking to his spiritual son about how to be fruitful and how to help others cause them to be fruitful, I think you're going to be blessed by that. But we're just looking at this one passage where Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And you can just fill in whatever blank you want when he talks to this young person, because it's the same for any of us, right? Don't let anybody look down on you because you're old. And Dennis Jordan says, amen. Don't let anyone look down on you. Because you were born in another country. Don't let anyone look down on you because your marriage did not work out the way you had planned, and now you find yourself in a different season of life. Don't let anyone look down on you, period. Stand, head up high, realizing I am a child of God. I am not perfect, but I worship the one who is. He's got me. So don't let anyone look down on you. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself, Timothy, to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. And do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress, your fruitfulness, the way you're multiplying in your situation. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, now check out this call to fruitfulness. If you do these things, Timothy, these things I've just been telling you about, you're going to see salvation come. Not just for yourself, but for your hearers. Everyone who is in your realm of influence, your audience. Not only are you going to be fruitful in me, but this fruitfulness is going to spread around to everyone around you. You are going to be a fountain of fruitfulness. Three things that we've been looking at in this passage. One, there's that call to live faithfully, to set an example in speech and life and love and faith and purity. And over these last 5 weeks, we've looked individually at each one of those things. Second thing is this call to live out a prophetic assignment. Don't neglect this gift that was given you prophetically as people came around you and spoke into your life. That there's a prophetic assignment on your life, Timothy. Don't neglect that. So live faithfully, live out your prophetic assignment, and then be ready, because when you live this way, fruitfulness is going to come. Salvation to not only to you, but to those in your influence, your audience. And we've used this diagram over the past weeks to kind of model this, that our lives are built on the foundation of Jesus. He is the faithful one upon whom we build our lives. We build our destinies on Jesus alone. And then there's that first floor of rock solid faithfulness that we are called to be faithful people. In speech, life, love, faith, and purity, we're called to be faithful, rock solid in our faithfulness. But then when we have our own lives built, that first story of rock solid faithfulness on the foundation of Jesus, we are then able to support this unique prophetic assignment that God has for our lives. This unique thing that he has had for Timothy, he's got something unique for you and for me, for each one of God's people, this prophetic assignment. The truth is when we don't build that first story of rock-solid faithfulness, man, this whole house, the whole destiny can collapse because our prophetic assignment has weight to it. It's weighty. There's responsibility that goes with that prophetic assignment. And so we're called to first build that first story of rock-solid faithfulness. And that's what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. But today, I want to reflect with you on the second story of our life, this prophetic assignment that God has for each of us. See, beyond the call to just be faithful followers of Jesus, each of us have, I believe, two different kinds of God-given assignments. Two different kinds of assignments that we have on our life. Karen, go ahead and put that up. I believe that we both have functional assignments and we have prophetic assignments. What is a functional assignment? I want to break these down because everything in our life is not a prophetic assignment. Everything that we find ourselves doing does not necessarily have that weightiness or that kind of specialization, that unique call on our life that is that prophetic assignment. Some of the assignments we have are simply functional assignments. These have to do with the roles that God causes us to function in. I'm a student, right? It's a functional role that I'm in at that time. I'm a child, or I'm a parent. I'm a husband. I'm a wife, a neighbor, friend. I'm an employee or an employer. I'm a church member, or I'm a citizen. All of these things are really important functional roles, kind of assignments that we find ourselves in. But can I tell you, those things do not need a particular prophetic assignment to them. You don't need to be told, Karen Vega, who is going off to Sacramento State, you do not need a prophetic assignment on your life that Karen Vega, God says you are to be a good student at Sacramento State. You don't need a prophetic word on that. That's just walking in that functional assignment that you're in. I am called to be a good student because I am a representative of Jesus and of my family, and my church family. I know who I am, so I just get to walk it out faithfully. So my role as a husband, I don't need a prophetic word. I don't need, you know, Dennis and Debbie Jordan to come and lay hands on me. Oh, man, brother, God is calling you to be a faithful husband. I don't need a prophetic assignment on my life to be a good husband. Because I am a husband, and therefore God says, just be faithful in doing what you are meant to do. In whatever role that you happen to be functioning in. Fathers, it's Father's Day, right? You don't need a prophetic word about being a responsible, good, kind, loving, generous dad in your kids' lives. Just do it. Just do it. Function faithfully as a representative of Christ in whatever role that you find yourself. You don't need a special word about, am I to be an honest employee? Just be one. And God's word is filled with instruction on how to be really, really good at being representatives of Jesus in all the different roles in which we find ourselves. There's lots of things said in God's word about those very things. But there's a different kind of assignment that I believe that God has for our lives that is different than just the role that we happen to be functioning in these different seasons of our lives. And it is these prophetic assignments. By prophetic assignments, this is what I mean. A specific God-inspired call to mission. This is something that, when I say specific, it's like something that you could write down on a piece of paper saying, I know this is God's unique assignment for me. It's specific just for you. I've mentioned this before, but if God puts a prophetic assignment on your life someday to be a pastor, that's awesome. But guess what? Your assignment is going to be a little bit different than my assignment. Because you are uniquely created to be you. And so your prophetic assignment is going to look a little different than mine. Because I'm wired how I'm wired. And God knows that. And God's not going to call you to be me. He's going to call you to be you. With your unique, God-inspired call to a particular mission. And we believe this, man, because we see it throughout Scripture. Over and over and over again. If I had time, we could just go through Scripture and talk about all the different ones that God did this very thing, had a prophetic assignment for the lives of so many different individuals all through the Old Testament and the New. We see it over and over again. Many of us have already experienced this in our own lives as well. But we believe that this is possible to have a prophetic assignment because we believe that God has never stopped speaking and that we have the capacity to discern God's will. And say those two things again because a prophetic assignment would not make sense if it were not for these two things. God still speaks, and we can still hear him. I believe that one of the greatest quests that we have in our lives is to discern what our prophetic assignments are on this planet. I believe it's one of the greatest quests. Those of you that are just graduating from high school, can I tell you that I believe that one of the greatest quests that you have in your lifetime is to continue to assess and to discern, God, what are those unique prophetic assignments that I am to walk out in my life? Because it begins to shape our destinies. And if we are to really be fruitful, to walk in that maximum fruitfulness that God has for each one of us, man, we don't want to be marching down a road that is going to lead to something other than God's fruitfulness. We don't want to walk down a road of barrenness. We want to walk down that road that he has destined for us for our fruitfulness. So we need to really get busy, if we're not already doing this, discerning, God, what are the prophetic assignments that you have for my life. We could turn to a lot of different places that describe these prophetic assignments because the word is filled with them. We could go right to the Apostle Paul, where the Apostle Paul was first named Saul, and Saul hated Christians. He was a Jewish leader that really felt that people who were following this man named Jesus were way off base. And so he began actually persecuting Christians. And one day when Saul was on his little donkey off to Damascus to go persecute some Christians, Jesus shows up in a blinding light, knocks him off his donkey, and speaks to him. says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get with my program. Because I have a mission, I have an assignment for you. We could go and look at that, but we're not going to. We're going to look instead to something that Paul wrote much later in his life about this prophetic assignment that he had on his life and that he was walking out. Because many years later, Paul writes this that we have captured in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 24. And it kind of speaks to the heart of a prophetic assignment. It speaks from the heart of someone who has been captured by their prophetic assignment, who knows that they know this is God's mission, his unique, inspired mission in my story. And this is what it sounds like when someone is talking about their prophetic assignment. And he says this, he says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me. Prison and hardships are facing me. Yay! Yay! Anybody want to say, I want to walk in my prophetic assignment, I think, right? The Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish my race, this race that has been given to me, and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace. Paul is describing what it feels like when one has been captured, captivated by a prophetic assignment. He now describes being compelled, urged on passionately by God. It's like God's hand is propelling me towards this goal, towards this life mission. I know that it's going to be hard. I know that hardships await me, but you know what? I don't even care, he says. I don't care about the hardships because I know my assignment. You know, when you know your assignment, you get a lot braver. When you know your prophetic assignment from the Lord, you take on a different air about you because you know that you have been commissioned for this task. You have been commissioned, so you are now walking not in your own authority, but you're walking in God's authority because he is the one who assigned me here. Right? Listen, if I did not really, really know in my bones that I was to be the pastor of the Santa Maria Four Square Church, I'll tell you what, there'd be a lot of confidence that would be lacking in this bold proclamation. Because I'd be kind of in the back of my mind going, oh man, I think somebody else should be doing this. Oh, I'm not the one. I'm not, you know, and this isn't my assignment. I'm walking in someone else's assignment. But when you know that God has a unique assignment for you, guess what? You walk in a holy boldness, an authority, knowing that I've been commissioned by God Almighty and he is with me. He has not abandoned me. In this mission, he is with me. So part of your prophetic assignment, right, is to be a school teacher. Guess what? You do not have to walk in fear, trepidation. Those third graders are going to kill me. No, it's like I'm walking in my commission. God has prophetically called me forth in a mission to third graders. So watch out, third graders, because here I come in the power of God Almighty, right? And I'm just looking around the room, just seeing different ones right now. People who are managing our post office, praise the Lord, right? people that are caring for kids as if they're their own children. Prophetic assignment. Boldness. Because God has called you to this. People who work with others who are broken, mending their lives with the power of God's word. All kinds of different things that we carry in this room. And that I know that there are many who are already walking in the sense of a prophetic assignment. Gives you boldness. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, said, do not neglect. Don't forget. You need to write this on your bathroom mirror, Timothy. I am called of the Lord. I am pastoring the church in Ephesus as a young leader. Timothy was young, right? He needed to be reminded, no, this is my calling. This is God's mission for me to be pastoring here, that he'd walk in an appropriate authority and boldness in that calling. Much has been said about how we can discern God's will for our lives. Much has been said, but I want to just give you three questions to just leave with and to ponder. As we would all grow in our discernment, God, what is my prophetic assignment? Do you have a new prophetic assignment for me in this season of my life? I want to give you three questions. Number one is this. What are my gifts? To like really assess, God, what have you gifted me to do? Because your gifts are a little bit different than the gifts of people around you. Paul wrote about this many places in his letters, but I love this passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, where he says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And you can go back and read the rest of that passage on your own later, because he's only giving like random examples. Hey, if you've been called to be a leader, be a leader. If you've called to be generous, be really generous. Walk in the gift that I have given you. Why? Because you're going to be fruitful in that. What does he say? God's given you these. He has equipped you in a certain way for doing certain things really well. In other words, you are going to find real fruitfulness when you walk in your gifting. If you try to walk out someone else's gifting, you try to be fruitful where someone else has been fruitful, What are you going to find? Banging your head against the wall. Why is this feeling so barren in my life? But God has wired you a certain way, equipped you with certain gifts. Now, I remember being in ninth grade, junior high math. Not my strong suit. When right during the middle of class, my public school, high school math teacher stopped class and said, Tim Mosselder, you should be a preacher. She was not commenting on my great preaching. She did not know, I don't even think that I was a person of faith, but she heard my voice. And she knew that voice is destined to preach God's word. Because God has given me a voice. I'm using it. What has he given you? What kind of gifts and abilities has he sown into your life? Let me ask you this way. How has he wired you? Because I believe he has wired you to be wildly successful. And you don't have to wait for another prophetic word about that, because he created you in a certain way. And as you assess how you are gifted, how you are wired, it helps you to discern where God has prophetically assigned you. If you are an artist, Ariana, be a really good artist. Knowing that God has wired you that way, he's given you that gift. Why? That you would do really, really well in that. That you would be fruitful in that. If you're a scientist, science it up, baby. Be fruitful in that. If God is giving you the gift of critical analysis, maybe you're really good with numbers, run with it. You don't have to say, man, this is just baggage or a burden on my life. No, that's how God wired you to be really, really fruitful. We have been wired for fruitfulness in our prophetic assignments. So don't fight it. Go with it. Second question to ask ourselves is, where are my opportunities? Where are the opportunities that are before me? Many times in Scripture, we very clearly see how God opens certain doors for people, and then other times closes particular doors. I remember in my story here, coming to Santa Maria, for a handful of years, God had really made it very clear to myself and Kelly that we believed that our next assignment was going to be being senior pastors. We were not senior pastors. We were serving in other ministry ways, and we lived up outside of Portland, Oregon. But through some time of really discerning, we either felt that God was going to keep us right there to pastor in Portland, Oregon area, or was going to return us back to where we had served before in the Southern California region. And guess what? When I got a call from Dennis Easter, our district supervisor, saying, hey, there is a church that you're familiar with. It's a church, the Four Square Church in Santa Maria. Would you pray about coming and becoming a pastor there? He wasn't offering me the job, right? He was just saying, would you begin to pray? But as I began to lean into that, very quickly, I recognized, God, you had already been speaking to me about Portland or Southern California. You may not feel Santa Maria, Southern California, but I do, okay? And I really began to assess that God was giving an open door here. So as we began to knock on this door and began to see, God, is this what you're speaking? God continued over and over through several different ways to affirm to us that this is the unique prophetic assignment by continuing to open doors and to welcome us here. Paul and Silas, it says in Acts chapter 16, were traveling, thinking that they were to be ministering in particular places. They were traveling through the areas, it says, of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Is that crazy? Why don't we have a book of the Bible called Bithynia? Because that was not God's prophetic assignment on them. Listen, God opens doors, and he's really good at closing others. Whew. I thank God for closing doors. Because on that journey that we had that I described before coming to Santa Maria, there were other opportunities of going to this city or that city to pastor. Some of those doors, no, we just felt like, that ain't the door. And we slammed those doors. Other times, we kind of got our feelings hurt because there were doors that were slammed on our noses. But we're good people. We'd be really good pastors there, right? Boom! What was God doing? He was affirming that he had something else for us. He was affirming. Praise God, not only for open doors, but for closed ones. And do not suppose that it's the enemy closing that door. It just may well be the Lord. So what opportunities are before you? A lot of times those opportunities come through the power of invitation. In fact, in Timothy's own life, that was how Timothy began to discern his prophetic assignment, because it says that Paul went to his hometown and was looking for someone to travel with him, and Timothy was well spoken of, and so Paul invited Timothy to journey in mission with him. It came through the power of an invitation. What are the opportunities that God is opening up before you? What doors is he opening? What doors might he be closing? And where are you sensing an open invitation? Number three, third question. What are my gifts? Where are my opportunities? And the third one is this. What is God prompting? What is God prompting in your life? Man, I remember the first time in my life when I felt significantly prompted by the Lord. I was 19 years old, a year out of high school, just minding my own business, when God began to just speak something so deep into my soul that I could not avoid it. I could not turn my back on it. I knew that there was this prompting. And I love the word prompting because I believe that prompting voice of the Holy Spirit is how he incites us to action. He speaks to us. And I like that word prompting because I remember being in a play when I was in ninth grade. And I wasn't very good, I guess, because I went out there and forgot my line in front of a whole room full of people. Thank God for prompting. Because you know what prompting does? Prompting is that word that they use in acting. It's that person that is quietly behind the scenes speaking out the next line so that you don't lose your place, so that you know your next step and where to go. That is what the Holy Spirit does for us. What is God prompting in you? You may feel like, I don't know my next step. I don't know. But guess what? We have a prompter, the Holy Spirit, that is right off stage, that if we listen, will be speaking to us. Here's your next step. Don't be afraid. I am directing you. I am behind this. This may come from a prophetic word like it did for Timothy. Don't neglect this gift that was spoken to you prophetically by elders as they laid their hands on you. That's great. We could all use prophetic words to help affirm the direction that we're to go. But a lot of times I believe that it's much more subtle than that. I believe sometimes that there is just this continual stirring, this voice, this prompting that keeps saying, no, 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 step this direction. And I want to close just by looking at one kind of unfamous person in Scripture who is my hero. He's not well known. He's spoken of just a few times by the Apostle Paul. But I want to finish with this about listening to that prompting voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's spoken of a man named Stephanas. And Paul writes, and he says, you know, as he writes to the church in Corinth, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and how they devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. In other words, every one of us can hear from the Lord about how we are to join in the work of the Lord and labor at it. Every one of us can. And I believe that what Paul is saying is that is exactly what Stephanas did. It says that his family, they devoted themselves. They didn't wait for the prophet to come by and say, boop, God says you are now in leadership. God says, now you are a servant to the saints. No, you know what they did? They listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit in their own situation. And as the Holy Spirit kept prompting them, hey, this is what I have for you. This is your unique assignment. This is how I have gifted you. And guess what? Here are some opportunities to serve right in front of you. What did it say? It says, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to this task, to this assignment. because they assessed their giftings, their opportunities, and what the Holy Spirit was prompting in their own story. And God says through Paul, we should honor people like this. Respect them. Follow their lead because they are following me. A prophetic assignment that can come just like this. Tim, I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Everybody's got a hand, right? I don't think we have any handless people in the room. We can all take our hands. Take a hand. Put it on yourself right now. Greg, put your hand on your head. Do you know that we can prophesy to ourselves? That we can speak and affirm what we hear the Holy Spirit prompting in our own soul. As we assess our gifts, as we look at the opportunities that God is providing, and then listen to that voice. We don't prophesy something weird over ourselves, right? That we're not hearing the Holy Spirit prompt, because that's just going to lead to barrenness. But as we walk into a fruitful destiny that God has for us, I believe that God will use the natural giftings that he's placed within us, that he's going to use open doors, closed doors, invitations and opportunities, and that there is going to be a prompting of the Holy Spirit that may come through a prophetic word like Timothy received, or it may be that stirring voice of the Holy Spirit like Stephanus received, where he devoted himself to the work of the Lord. Listen, like I said, there has been so much written on this topic, and we're barely scratching the surface. There's a reason that Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, has sold tens of millions of copies, right? And there's a reason that I went out and got these copies, because we're also giving this, in addition to the arrows, we're also giving this book to each high school graduate. For them to just walk through and process in that discernment, that quest to say, God, I want to really, really know, what is that prophetic assignment that you have uniquely for me? If you have never picked up this book, I encourage you to get them. You can order them cheap on Amazon like I did. But let's make it a quest to say, I want to be fruitful. Therefore, not only am I going to build that first story of faithfulness into my life, but I know that that faithfulness is meant to carry the weight of a prophetic assignment that he has for me. Whether it be in the marketplace, whether it be in church type ministry, whether it be in my home, whether it be in my neighborhood, whether it be in my city or someplace even else in the world, I believe that God will direct us because he speaks and we can hear his voice.